Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 57. We're going to begin discussing language arts. Now, by way of doing this, just to bring us into the realm of language for the first time in this conference, I want to read to you some essays, some of them quite short, some a little longer. And I'll talk about them after you've heard a few. The assignment was, write your thoughts on what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. So here are some responses. What is it like to be the sun, I wonder? The sun belongs to the universe. I wonder if it has eyes, if while shining, it can see the good and the bad. Who made the sun? There are so many questions that we can keep asking forever. Maybe the sun is an impossible to open envelope with all the answers within. Another response. To shine is something great, and I think to myself, what a pity that I was born a human and not the sun. A third response. The sun. When it rises, people watch it in amazement, and when it goes down, they watch it like sheep who have lost their shepherd. This is how much they need it. Now to go on to a slightly different approach to these questions. This is called Two Kind Words. I am waiting to hear two kind words because with all this fierce and continuous fighting at home, the world has turned into a little and invisible spot with blue-eyed pain running up and down in it. The pain sprinkles all people with invisible dust, and they start fighting. I watch all this with a broken heart. There are tears running down my face. The pain stands right behind me and is just about to sprinkle its dust on me when it hears someone say, I am sorry. The pain is dead. Two kind words, and the world is big again. And now the theme is, I exist. Tell me how to explain that I exist in this world. I am invisible to people. I look common to everyone. I want to be more than what I am. I simply want to be seen. I want to be everything, so I am not invisible, but I can't. And that is why I am asking you how I can be that way. Why does one see the swan and not me? Why? Another response to the theme, I exist. Why do I exist? Why? Has someone wanted me to come into existence? And who could that be? And whoever he is, why did he want me to appear exactly in this world, exactly in this country? Exactly to these parents. Perhaps so I could see people, animals, and flowers. So I can see them because I can enjoy life that I have been given only once. So I can jump and play as a child, work as an adult, and then continue to keep going up from the first step, up and up, until I fall into the dark abyss. And can't see a thing anymore, then I won't be able to see all the things I have seen. But why? Perhaps someone else would want me to be born. I hope they would want to have me. Even if they don't want me, I will remember, nevertheless, that I have lived, that I could have been happy and not sad. I wish I could thank this someone who has made me so happy. If only I could. If only I could. Our next essay is in the form of a little dialogue, and it's between one character who is called simply I, as in I myself, and another who is called Mirror. So I will be portrayed by Rain Springer, and I, the Mirror, will be portrayed by I, Eugene Schwartz. The Mirror begins. Who are you?
I am I. And who are you?
I am you.
I am simply I, and you? You are me?
Yes, that's right. What are you?
I am something and nothing. And you?
Reflection.
Do you exist?
No. And you?
I don't know.
The mirror is everything.
That's true. But what is your name?
Universe.
The nothing is everything, and everything is nothing.
What do you see?
Oh, I can't see anything.
Of course.
Oh, no, I can see something, but it's invisible.
Yes. That is you.
Oh, yes. But what is I?
I is a book read by a spirit. Once the book has been read, it opens up again at the beginning, but this time backwards. And everything starts all over again.
I got it.
Yes, I can see.
Impossible.
On the contrary, it is possible. Everything is nothing. Nothing is everything. When I read these essays to a group of teachers or a group of parents, I will then say, how old do you think the writers of these essays were? Now, of course, you already have a preconception because you're taking a third grade conference. But still, I'm sure these gave you some pause. It's not unusual for people to guess age 12, age 14, sometimes even 16, and maybe somebody who knows a bit about the 9-year change would say 10, 9. But certainly, these are unusually good. Now, there's a bit of a story behind them. They were not written by children in the United States, and they were not written by children in the 21st century. They are 9-year-olds from Sofia, Bulgaria, and they were writing, they had a creative writing class in a state school, not a Waldorf school, in the fall of 1993. They're translated into English, obviously, but I think they're pretty true to the originals. So why are they written so well? Why are there such profound thoughts that are being expressed in them? I've been teaching for years and years, and if I were to go back into a third grade right now and work with 9-year-olds, I think it is very unlikely, even if I had had them from grade one on, very unlikely that I could get any group of American 9-year-olds to write something like that. Maybe one child in the class, and I think even that is unlikely. So what's going on here? It's Bulgaria. It's 4 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Bulgaria was one of the communist bloc countries, one of the less advanced ones with a stronger, more dictatorial rulership lording over it. And that meant that these children grew up deprived and oppressed. And what do I mean by this? They did not have the freedom of being exposed to the media. They grew up with one government radio station that played classical music all day long, when it wasn't playing communist propaganda. They grew up with no television. They were not allowed to see any movies. They had no Sony Walkman in those days, nor, if it were now, would they be allowed to have had iPods or any other personal music devices. No computers, of course. So this is what they lacked. All of the trappings of American, particularly, but now generally Western so-called culture. And listen to their writing. Here you see what we have wrought on our children in the past few decades. And I'm not just saying only those children who watch 8 hours of TV a day or who sit and play video games by the hour. I'm speaking of even those children who go through a Waldorf kindergarten, have parents who restrict their intake of whatever the modern world is hurling at them, protect them, shelter them. Even those children would not be able to write like this, because we could say that our entire world now, and certainly the North American part of that world, is so interpenetrated with the electricity, the electromagnetic waves generated by the media, that children are bombarded with them, whether they are consciously listening or not. And this is definitely a phenomenon. Secondly, how do their parents speak? How do they hear people in public life expressing themselves? What sort of grammar do they see in billboards? What sort of grammatical expressions and clarity do they get in newspapers, magazines? Once again, not that they're necessarily reading them, but this is what surrounds them. So we see that our children, all of them, are from a language arts point of view in need of remedial help. Our children's vocabularies have shrunk, their inherent grasp of grammar and beauty of expression has greatly deteriorated, not just since the 19th century, but since the late 20th century. And we have to be reminded by children who are considered deprived, terribly disadvantaged, who, you know, elicited the pity and sympathy of the rest of the world when communism fell, what is living within them and how well they are able to express it. So we can be confident that there is far more living in the typical 9-year-old than they can necessarily express out of themselves. And we have to look at our work in language arts from first grade on, but especially now with greater intensity and focus from third grade through eighth grade, as an effort to clear those blockages, to remove the hindrances that stand in the way of what lives inside the child finding an outer expression. In the same sense that we want to, you know, clear the children's senses so that the beauty and meaning of the world can stream into them. But it's a two-way street. And language arts is something that I think we do not do nearly enough with in the way of helping children, Waldorf children, given such a richness of curriculum, help them really express it in its fullness and in its beauty. So we have a big task in front of us. You know, Steiner stressed again and again that Waldorf education was very little about stuffing children with stuff, even though the curriculum is rich and full and has plenty of content, much more about clearing their path, taking the obstructions away from the child so that he or she can realize his or her destiny. And I would say the ability to express oneself in language, through language, that quintessentially human faculty that we have, and we see how powerfully that works in the Hebrew scriptures, and how important it is, prayer and the Psalms and Aaron's capacity to speak to the Pharaoh when Moses could not, how important speech, the word, language altogether is. So let these third grade little essays be an example for us. That lives in American children. All that these children have wrought so beautifully and wittily lives in our third graders as well. But we're going to have to work harder to elicit it and help them find their way. So we'll look now at how we work with language arts in the third grade.